Satan has battled God's word with deception, and the spirit of the deceiver is to question God's word. It is a spirit of rebellion. It is a spirit that questions God's word and endeavors to substitute Satan's opinion with the truth of the word of God. Those of you that have ever read Genesis chapter 3 will recall that God had laid down a very simple law. He said to Adam and Eve, "You are not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." They could have everything in the garden that they pleased to have, but there was one tree they were not to touch. And of course, human nature being as it is, and sinful nature coming forth in that Garden of Eden, they desired through Satan's temptation the one thing that they were forbidden to have. And Satan came in that early hour of human history, and Satan said, "Yea, hath God said that thou should not eat?" Satan said, "Ye shall not surely die." The first thing that Satan did was to question the word of God. And the second thing that Satan did was to substitute for the word of God his own brand of religion, if you will. You see, Satan questions God's word from the very beginning of time. When we come to the New Testament age, the apostles now are preaching and revival is spreading and churches are being established. But no sooner had God ordained those apostles to preach and lift up the cross of Jesus Christ than false teachers were coming in and were questioning the truth of the gospel. That's why Jude wrote in Jude in verse number 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you concerning the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For certain men have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained unto condemnation, and have turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness." Jude said, "I needed to write to you because there were some men who were creeping in unawares into those early churches, and their teachings were ordained of Satan to deceive people away from the truth of the Word of God." You see, at the beginning of history, Satan questioned God's word. And at the beginning of the New Testament church, Satan questioned God's word. And that's what John is writing about here in 1 John chapter 4. He is warning people concerning the false teachers of the day. Here we see in verse number 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Here John the Apostle is commanding the churches to use spiritual discernment. This warning is being given to help fortify the churches against spiritual vulnerability. John knew that these Christians were vulnerable to these false teachers who were coming along. John is saying, you need to try the spirits. You need to be very careful to fortify against spiritual vulnerability. And I dare say that in this lukewarm age where God's people are so busy that they're spending less and less time in the Word of God, that we are seeing extreme vulnerability on the part of Christians. It is unprecedented in the history of the church the way that Christians are running after false teachings and New Age concepts, and the way that they are being duped because something is called Christian many times. We give credence to it when what we should do is try the spirits to see whether they be of God. We see in the Word of God that really what John is doing is saying to these Christians, look, you need to put some spiritual radar up. You need to check on things coming in to make sure that they're friendly and to make sure that it's according to the Word of God. Most of you are aware of the fact that the borders of the United States of America are being today watched by an early warning radar system. That early warning radar system is to detect any kind of aircraft or any type of enemy missile that would come and penetrate this country. And thank God for those that would watch our borders like that. And they're watching for though the enemy fire and the enemy aircraft that would come and cause destruction upon our borders. It's an early warning radar system. And John is telling the Christians that they're to have a warning radar system spiritually. They're to try the spirits according to the Word of God. They're to try the teachings according to the Word of God to make sure that it is something that they should receive. our warning will come to us as we read the Word of God and as we study the Word of God. We'll be protected. We'll have discernment to understand the way that we should live and to understand things that we should reject as we stay in the Word of God. Those of you who've studied the history of Pearl Harbor recall that just prior to the bombing at Pearl Harbor, there were those that were having a great time there at Pearl Harbor, and folks were getting ready for church, and others were getting ready for the activities of the day. But there was a man at a remote station on the north end of Oahu who saw little blips on the screen of radar. Radar was just beginning really to take place and be used effectively. He saw the blips there on the radar, and he radioed down to Pearl Harbor and said, "I see a lot of blips on this radar. It looks like we've got some aircraft coming in." The man in charge that day said to the radar officer, he said, "Those are just plane supply planes coming in from the West Coast. Those are not anything to worry about. We're expecting shipments to come in today from the West Coast." And because of a misreading, massive destruction took place. And if you and I fail to try the spirits, and if we fail to use discernment, there is spiritual destruction that will come into the life of those who do not read the Word of God properly. And oh, we see today, some might question all the emphasis on warning. Friend, I would remind you that we are involved presently in a spiritual warfare. Those of you that lived during World War II, when you would hear the sirens go, when you were told where to go and find cover, I don't think you said, "Well, we got to do it again. We've got to find out how to be careful." No, you said, "Thank God we've got those sirens. Thank God we've got someplace to go and find cover. Thank God for the early warning system." And I'll tell you what, friend, the longer I'm saved, the more I thank God for the way the Bible gives me early warning. Causes me to avoid so many pitfalls and so many difficulties in my life. And you need to be reminded today, according to Ephesians 6:12, that we are involved presently in a spiritual warfare. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And that's what John is mentioning in verse number 1 of chapter 4. He says, "Many false prophets have gone out into this world." That's why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 21, "Prove all things, hold fast to those things which are good." And here we see again in this passage in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Try the spirits." The word "try" means to test or to prove the spirits and make sure that what we're receiving is from God. Now, how can we know? Well, let me give to you today three principles that you might live your life by from the Word of God. First of all, I want you to notice the confession of a true believer. What a true believer confesses is found in verse number 2. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." A true believer confesses that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. A true believer will lift high the banner of the deity of Jesus Christ. He will not question the blood atonement. He will not question the burial and the resurrection. He will not question the perfect life of Jesus Christ. A true believer understands and confesses his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word "confess" means to say the same thing or to agree with. And so a true believer agrees with the teachings of Christ and the apostles and agrees with the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 12 says, "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know that which is freely given to us of God." Paul said there in Corinthians that through the Spirit of God in his life, he was able to understand the things that were of God as he lived his life. A true believer is clear about the manifestation of Jesus Christ in this world. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:19, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." Paul said in Colossians chapter number 1, that in Christ dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Someone who is expressing a faith in Jesus Christ will stand true concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. A true believer confesses his faith in Jesus Christ and his belief in his deity and in his atoning work. Secondly, a true believer will hear the truth. A true believer will readily accept the truth of God's word. The Bible tells us this in verse number 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Now just think about that. That is a very simple but a very profound verse. The Bible says, he that knoweth God heareth us. The apostle is simply saying that someone that knows God is going to receive the instruction of the apostles, which we hold in our hands and call the New Testament. Someone that believes in God will receive it. Over the years, as I've preached here now for 10 years here in the Antelope Valley, I've observed and watched different people as I preach. I like to see people's eyeballs, and that way I get a little idea of how we're doing in communication. Sometimes I've preached on some pretty tough issues as far as the society is concerned. We've preached from this Word of God that homosexuality is a wicked sin, not an alternative lifestyle. We've preached that abortion is murder, not just a form of some kind of contraception. We've preached some strong messages. We've preached concerning the church and loyalty to the church and to God's man. We've preached concerning the loyalty that we ought to have to God's word. I mean, we've preached a lot of things. But you know, I've noticed as I've preached periodically, I'll see someone out there, boy, they begin to scorn just in their face. You can just sense a scornful look. You can just sense sort of an attitude of rebellion as you're preaching on whatever the subject might be. And I sometimes will even have folks say to me, maybe on their way out, I didn't like what you said this morning. Sometimes they'll express it in some other way. By the way, that's why you ought to pray for your pastor and love your pastor, because not everyone appreciates the fundamental teachings of the Word of God. And I'll tell you, I've seen folks respond in that way. But now, wait a minute. I've also taken the time to go back into their home time and time again and just to sit down with them and try to talk to them. And you know what I've found? Is that most folks who are not receiving something that is straight from the Bible, it's because they've never been saved. It's because they have never met the author of this book. John says in verse 6, we are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. Somebody that knows God says, boy, give it to me, preacher. I want to know what the Bible has to say about it. I want to hear what God has to say. I want to hear what the Word of God is saying. You see, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says it this way. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So I may be up here preaching the gospel of Christ and saying that all men are sinners and need to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. And someone that's not saved, that's not going to feel real good to them right at first. They don't want to be told that they're a sinner. They don't want to be told what the Bible says about an issue. But someone that is saved, they want to hear what the Word of God says. They enjoy the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. So a true believer confesses his faith in Jesus Christ, and a true believer hears the teaching of the Word of God. Those are the characteristics of a true believer. And you'll find with many of these cult groups that they are not confessing the deity of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people say, oh, I just wish that Pastor Chappell wouldn't name the names of other groups. Why, if we all believe sincerely, then surely we'll all go to heaven someday. Friend, you can believe sincerely wrong. The fact of the matter is that groups such as the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons, and I know they're being involved in a lot of these men's movements now and being accepted by certain groups in Christianity. But now, wait a minute. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They are of another spirit. They are not of the Spirit of the Lord. And they deny that Jesus Christ was God come in the flesh. So they are not confessing what true believers confess. A true believer confesses his faith and belief in Jesus Christ and in his deity and in his finished work. And a true believer will sit down and open up the Word of God and delight to read it with you and delight to understand it. Some of these cult groups are not even allowed to take a piece of literature from you. They're not even allowed to read and study what the Bible might say so long as it's something that you gave to them. In fact, they'll even shake the dust off their feet when you leave. They're taught that. But a true believer confesses his faith in Christ and he hears the truth of the Word of God and he has a thirst for it. That's the characteristic of a true believer. Now, secondly, notice some characteristics of a false teacher. If we're going to have discernment so that we know what we're to consume, spiritually speaking, here notice some of the characteristics of a false teacher in verse number 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now, here we see that you and I need to face up to the fact that there are false teachers who may stand behind pulpits, who may quote some scripture once in a while, but they are not preaching the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, if you would, back in the book of 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I think this is a verse that every Christian should read and know and understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Many of these cults actually have a president at their head or an apostle over their group that claims to have revelation outside of the Word of God. The Bible says this in verse 13, they transform themselves. They say that they are the apostles. Therefore, they can give continuing revelation outside of the Bible. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, I want you to understand something. When the Antichrist shows up, he will be the most suave speaker to ever speak. The Antichrist will be a very charismatic and powerful figure. He will be accepted and embraced by the political world and by the religious world. He'll be the most charismatic speaker to ever speak on CNN. Why? He will be empowered by Satan. He will be transforming himself as the one who's promising peace when all he has to promise is destruction. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1, but these were false prophets who brought damnable heresies. Now the fact is today that false teachers abound. And I want you to see some of the characteristics of a false teacher. First of all, they will have unbiblical content in their message. Now they may say some things that sound good, but they will have unbiblical content about Christ. Verse 3 says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. 2 John in verse 7 says this, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. One of the fastest growing cults in the world today started in the Philippines. It started with a man who claimed a revelation from God. This man says that Jesus Christ is just another prophet. He was not God in the flesh. He did not atone for our sins. This cult is called Iglesia Ni Cristo. They have a meeting place here in the Antelope Valley. They're spreading around the world today, but they are denying that Jesus Christ was God's son. They are denying that Jesus Christ is the atonement for our sin. And so they are unbiblical in their content. Secondly, the second characteristic is that they will have massive acceptance. Verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now look, you're going to talk about what's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if Jesus is in your heart, you're going to talk about Jesus. But if you're of this world, you're going to talk about the world. So verse 5 tells us that these false teachers are going to talk a lot about the world. Are you aware of the fact that in some places of worship, Earth Day is emphasized more than Resurrection Sunday? And globalism and the politics of globalism are now coming into pulpits because they're talking about the world more than they're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Read it in verse 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. But thank God today, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That's why I'm going to talk about Jesus in heaven, because this world is not my home. But the false teachers, they're going to have all the answers for world peace. They're going to have all the solutions for the world's economy. And they are going to be accepted massively, according to the Bible in verse 5. The world will hear them. Now, I want to say it very clearly today. A large crowd alone is not evidence that truth is being taught. Just because there's a large crowd doesn't mean that God's word is being taught in an unadulterated fashion. Many of the cults have large crowds. By the way, Disneyland has a large crowd today. But I don't think anyone's on Main Street preaching the Word of God today. You see, they're going to have mass acceptance. The first characteristic is that they are unbiblical in their content. The second characteristic is mass acceptance. The third characteristic is commercialism. Time does not permit, but if you want to jot it down, 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says concerning false prophets, they will make merchandise of you. They will exploit the truth. They'll make merchandise of you, the Bible says. Now, you know, I'm not against a good Christian book or good Christian music, but we're seeing more and more people that are using religion to make a dollar. Now, notice it here. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2, 3, they make merchandise of you. It's an amazing thing. Some years ago, how that I was doing a study on contemporary theology in my Bible school training at college, and I decided that I would do a project studying some of the ministries that were on television at the time. By the way, don't ever get on their mailing lists. You will never get off. They will trace you around the world. But one particular fella, I remember receiving some of his literature. And in his literature, he promised that for $14.95, he would send a prayer cloth. And that if you would take that prayer cloth and put both knees on the prayer cloth and pray, whatever you ask for, you'd get it for $14.95. We laugh, but only God knows how many people bought that prayer cloth. And one of the evidences of a false teacher is that he is involved in commercialism, exploiting the truth. He is unbiblical in his content. He has massive appeal. He is involved in commercialism. Thirdly, a teacher that is teaching false principles will have a hidden motive. The Bible says back in Jude in verse 4 that they crept in unawares. They came in without really establishing who they were and what they intended to teach. They crept in unawares. They had hidden motives. And I'll tell you, over 10 years of pastoring, there have been folks come into this church, and some of you'd be shocked if you knew the spiritual warfare that the pastoral staff and men of this church have been involved in. Just people that come in, they don't announce what they really believe. They just kind of come in and act like one of the guys. But they believe something totally different than what this church teaches. You know what that's called? It's called being unethical. And I want you to know something. We have tried to say for 10 years, we try to let people know exactly what we are. We're an independent Baptist church. We believe the distinctives of the fundamental truths of the Word of God. We're non-charismatic. We're old-fashioned. Boy, we just try to say to people, hey, what you see is what you get. The tracks have been laid. The train is on the tracks. And we're going. If you want to go, jump on. If not, jump off. That's just being honest with people, just saying, here's what we believe. But you see, the false teachers, they become all things to all men, and not for the spiritual sense, but for their own sense of gain. Now, most of you are aware of hidden motives, and you've been involved and maybe even been taken advantage of. I think of the story I heard last week about a little boy that went up to his dad and said, Dad, can you sign your name without looking? The dad said, why, sure, son. He said, good, Dad, would you close your eyes and sign my report card? A lot of people have hidden motives for a lot of different reasons. But the false teacher's reason is always for themselves. Matthew 7:15 says, false prophets come in sheep's clothing, but they are really ravening wolves. And so we see they are unbiblical in their content. They are massive in their appeal. They are commercialized. They have hidden motives. And number five, they will not hear the truth. Notice in verse 6, so that in verse 6 in 1 John chapter 4, it says, for we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You see, those that are not of God, the Bible says, will not hear the truth of the prophets and the apostles. They will not hear the truth of the Word of God. Whether it's a TV preacher or whether it's a cult at your door or some charismatic, politically active figure, friend, you need to be very careful. If they're not receptive to the Word of God, you need to try the spirits to make sure before you commit your time, your talent, your treasure. You need to be very clear that this is something that is true and correct according to God. Now, how can I walk with confidence using discernment in the 1990s? First of all, I must know the confession of a true believer. He stands firm for the doctrine of Christ. He hears the whole counsel of God. Secondly, the characteristics of the false teacher. And then notice, thirdly, the courage of a believer. The courage of the believer in verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, in the midst of all the spiritual warfare, with all the false teachings and with all the difficult situations that surround us today, yet the Bible gives us courage and hope for tomorrow. First of all, it says in verse 4, ye are of God. You know why I can take courage today? And some of you read all of these conspiracy books and all these different things. You get off on a rabbit trail and start looking at life through a paradigm. Let me get you back on God's word for just a moment. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You little negative, little gallivanting kind of a guy that just always having to have a negative word for somebody. Let me give you a positive word just for a moment. Let me remind you of the fact that you and I are overcomers in Jesus Christ. We've got good news to tell. We need to be busy sharing that good news. Notice what it says in verse 4. Ye are of God. Now, let me ask you a question today. Are you of God? There's only one way to know that you're of God, and that is, have you accepted his son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior? If you are of God, it doesn't matter how many false teachers are out there. It doesn't matter how many conspiracies are out there. If you are of God, you're on the winning side. If you're a child of God, let them do what they want to do. Just keep on loving God. Notice what it says also. It says, and you have overcome them. You have overcome them. We have the victory. Colossians 2:15 says that Christ spoiled the principalities and the powers. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he accomplished your victory and mine on that day. This past week, on Thursday, I had the joy and privilege of attending the board meeting for the Sword of the Lord. It's a Christian periodical. And what an exciting report we heard on Thursday. But as I was there, my wife Terry had the privilege of spending the day with Mrs. Curtis Hudson. Went to the home there and spent the afternoon with Mrs. Hudson. Mrs. Hudson took my wife and showed her the room where Dr. Hudson went home to be with the Lord. Showed her pictures of their ministry and revival crusades and so forth. It was a precious time. And as my wife was telling me about that, I could not help but think, about 2 years ago, when I heard this evangelist friend of mine preach his last sermon. He preached that sermon, and as he finished that sermon, he stood behind that pulpit, weighing all but 65 or 70 pounds as the cancer had now taken its toll. He finished that sermon. I'll never forget the song that he sang as he stood and sang, I'm on the winning side. Then he sang, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Thank God that though he was nigh unto death's door, he knew that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And it doesn't matter today how many false teachers there are, or how many conspiracies there are, or how much financial or health difficulties. If you're saved today, if you're of God, you are on the winning side. So start living like it. Enjoy the victory that you have in Jesus Christ. John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation, Jesus said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.